I'm now joined by Brandon Clark, Director of ETF Business at Federated Hermes, who's a leading global investment manager with nearly $650 billion in assets. And perhaps more noteworthy to listeners of this podcast, they are in the process of entering the ETF space. They currently have two ETFs in registration with the SEC, a short-term corporate bond ETF and a short-term high-yield bond ETF. And from my perspective, I feel like the messaging has been pretty clear from Federated Hermes that these two ETFs are just the first of what will ultimately be a very robust ETF lineup. Brandon is now on the line with me from Philadelphia. Brandon, thanks for joining me. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's jump right in. As I mentioned, Federated Hermes, $650 billion in assets, one of the larger asset managers out there. What took so long to get involved in ETFs, and why enter the space now?
Yeah, I it's a great question, Nate. And I'd actually probably say it the other way around, which is, man, it seems like active is just starting to go. Good time to get in.
Fair.
It's funny, as I was thinking about this, we're coming up on almost 30 years of ETFs, right? If you go back to when they first started, and but yeah, 30 years later, you know, active managers are starting to come into the business, and when you look at the data, it's we're just pushing $300 billion relative to what actually lives in the active mutual fund space.
Well, talk more about Federated Hermes business overall, because my sense is most investors think of money market funds when it comes to Federated. So I'm curious, how big is that segment of the business? How could that translate to ETFs, if at all? And then just talk about the other areas of the business.
Yeah, so the money market business is obviously probably the largest part of our franchise. But when you look at our fixed income business and our equity business, the fixed income business, both fixed income and our equity are right around $100 billion each. So those two franchises are not small by any means. The money market business is obviously the lion's share of those assets. When it comes to ETFs, that doesn't necessarily translate directly from a money market ETF or a money market fund to a money market ETF, but a lot of our experience in money markets and the shorter duration short end of that curve will definitely bode well as we get into the ETF in the ETF sphere.
Yeah, and I mentioned the two bond ETF filings, which I know you can't speak to those directly, but is the goal here to develop a suite of actively managed ETFs? Will the focus be on fixed income? Will it be on equities? I don't expect you to give us the full roadmap here, but in general, talk about the strategy in approaching the ETF market.
Yeah, I mean, the approach in the ETF market, I think, is really important from our perspective, because as clients' preferences have evolved over the last 30 years, more clients want to access investment expertise in a vehicle that makes sense to their client. And from an asset manager's perspective, us delivering our investment expertise, we've got to be able to meet clients where they want to be met. Right? So if they want to use ETFs, or if they want to use mutual funds or SMAs or commingled trusts, we want to be able to offer that expertise. From a strategy perspective, our view is existing strategies at some point likely will end up being in the ETF wrapper, right? So we'll deliver our expertise in that vehicle. But we'll also look to develop new strategies as we look for where some of the white spaces are within our product lineup, and look to say, what's the right delivery vehicle, the right mechanism to get it to our clients? And, given the evolving preference towards ETFs, we might lean towards ETFs more often than not, at least in the near term, and be able to deliver that, again, our investment expertise to clients in that where they want to be met with the vehicle.
You mentioned white spaces. Look, right now, as I know you're keenly aware, we have, 2,700, 2,800 ETFs on the market. Where do you think there's white space? Like, where do you think Federated can differentiate and find a path to success?
Great question. I think this comes back to how we started off, which is you've got less than $300 billion in actively managed ETFs. the reality is that's heavily concentrated in, you know, where I'll say where the active ETF business started, which is in the ultra short space. And we've got a couple issuers that have come out with actively managed equity products that have gathered significant assets in a short period of time. But the reality is there's really not a lot of offerings in active ETFs. So I think there's a lot of white space for managers to come in and deliver active strategies, given that it's either so top heavy in ultra short products or a handful of equity products. So I think there's a lot of opportunity on the active side.
Just taking a step back here, you have a unique background. So you previously helped start up Legg Mason's ETF business. Prior to that, you were head of ETF capital markets at Vanguard, of course, the second largest ETF issuer in the country. But now here you are, tasked with developing and implementing Federated's ETF business strategy. I'd love to hear more about those past ETF experiences and probably more importantly, maybe some lessons learned that you're now bringing or applying to Federated.
Yeah, great question. And, you know, I had the benefit of starting my ETF career, as you mentioned, at Vanguard. So being an issuer that has that kind of size in the ETF business and being there kind of when it started or close to when it started and the ramp up, I had a lot of lessons learned coming out of that. You know, what worked, what didn't work. A lot of my focus, as you mentioned, on that was on the capital markets side. You know, that, you know, we, along with some other issuers, kind of evolved into that role. And I had, again, a fortunate to being on the portfolio management desk, seeing what worked there, what didn't work. You know, fast forward to Legg Mason, the ability to come in and help an active manager who's getting in ETFs, you know, there's a lot of lessons learned coming from, you know, at the time, the third largest asset manager in the business, now the second in ETFs. You're able to bring a lot of that expertise. Come to Federated, and I had the exact same benefits of, you know, what worked, what didn't work at both of my former employers. And I'm able to kind of bring all those best practices to bear as we start to build out our ETF franchise. And I think that's really important, too, because post, you know, not to get too nuts and bolts here, but post 6c11, but the ETF role last year, the ability to understand how to efficiently run these products is really important to make sure that, you know, as a new issuer, you're using all of the capabilities that the ETF wrapper brings to the investment process. And a lot of that, I had the capability, you know, my time at Vanguard, and then we fine tune some of that in active at Legg, and now I'm able to take all those experiences and really, you know, utilize those to the best of our abilities here at Federated.
In terms of capabilities and the ETF wrapper, of course, one of the new capabilities over the past year or so is the ability to utilize a non-transparent wrapper. And you mentioned, you know, going back to the white space in ETFs and there perhaps being a lot of white space in actively managed ETFs in particular. I know there's a lot of debate in the industry right now about whether or not non-transparent will be a wrapper of choice for a lot of active managers. Do you have any strong views here? I'll be honest, I've been skeptical of the non-transparent wrapper, and thus far we haven't, with a few exceptions, we haven't seen a tremendous amount of assets go into that structure. But is that something that Federated is looking at moving forward?
Great question. And here's what I would say. I would probably separate that question into two pieces. The first part being from the end investor's perspective, the client's perspective. I'm not sure they really need to get wrapped up too much in whether a product is non-transparent or transparent. That's a bit of inside baseball that a lot of us have been in the ETF business for a long time. You know, we tend to get wrapped up on that, but I kind of look at it from a client's perspective. If the market quality around a product is appropriate, I'll just say maybe that way. If it's appropriate, I'm not sure it really matters if it's a transparent or non-transparent from the end investor, unless they obviously want to see transparency, et cetera. So you know, I would hope at some point from an industry perspective, we get away from the non-transparent, transparent, because I think it adds some confusion to the end investor. To answer from a different path, I think from a issuer's perspective, there might be reasons or rationale to use non-transparent on a given strategy, depending on the sensitivity. But I think I would kind of agree with you that, you know, largely from a non-transparent perspective, the question just becomes, what value does it add to the investment process, or what value does it take away from the investment process? And from our perspective, it's we may want to use it, but, you know, we got to look and see what's right and in the best interest of the investor at the end of the day.
And I'll just note the two bond ETF filings that are out there, those are in a transparent wrapper. They're fixed income ETF, so that makes sense, but I think it's worth pointing out. What about mutual fund to ETF conversions? Is that something on your radar? Are there current federated mutual funds that perhaps could be candidates here longer term?
Mutual fund conversions, I'd say it's on our radar. I don't think it's necessarily from an take a firm like Federated or any of the larger active managers. I don't know if that is the panacea, I'll say, for a large issuer to get into the business. There's a lot of nuance to doing conversions, and that may or may not make sense for a specific fund. And I'd, right off the bat, I would say, you know, historically 401k plans have not been a great structure to then take and try to put an ETF into. So if I've got a fund that's got a broadly diversified between advisors and 401k plans and others, that may not be a great candidate to try to do a conversion on, because I likely am now taking away a choice from an investor, right? Because our focus is just making sure that we're delivering the vehicle that clients want to access our investment strategy and not take it away. So, but that being said, there are probably, you know, and I think we've seen it, you know, in a couple of these conversions, there are probably going to be situations where it might make sense if there's more demand on the ETF side, or you're largely concentrated within a specific client type, or it's a tax managed strategy that where the ETF tax efficiency can help broaden the tax efficiency of the strategy as a whole. Mutual fund versus ETF, you would expect the ETF to be more tax efficient over the long run.
Brandon, just a couple minutes left here. So these two filings with the SEC, I assume those will launch here sometime soon. What's next? Do we just need to keep an eye on the SEC filing register? I know we talked a little bit before about, what Federated's overall plans are here, but can you just talk about the future of ETFs at Federated?
Yeah, I mean, from our perspective, the ETF effort is a bit of a marathon, right? It's not about how many products can we get out quickly. You know, given the uniqueness of ETFs and especially launching them and the ecosystem that supports them, there does need to be a thoughtful build out as to how you launch and when you launch products. And that's probably one of my lessons learned as, you know, through my times of launching ETFs. You just can't show up with 15 products and I'll say kind of overburden the ecosystem. So we're going to think about it. We're going to be smart about it. Ultimately, what you would expect to see is we'll bring existing strategies at some point into the ETF wrapper. You know, one of our near-term blank, you know, white spaces on our product line is definitely around the ESG space. And we have our products are ESG integrated, but we don't have what I would call more of the ESG forward or centric products that clients are starting to look for now.
Well, Brandon, I'll tell you that just from my perspective, I'm always excited to see a firm like Federated Hermes enter the ETF marketplace. Obviously, again, one of the leading global asset managers. I think it's a great endorsement of ETFs. I certainly wish you the best of luck in this endeavor. But great connecting this week. Thank you for joining me.
I appreciate the time, Nate.
That was Brandon Clark, Director of ETF Business at Federated Hermes.